Okay. So we just heard from Passion Pit with Take a Walk. And now you're listening to The Birds with Turn, Turn, Turn. Theme music for The Garden Conversation, which is underwritten in part by Jewel Gardens in Skagway, in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
Good morning, Joni. Good
morning. We have Mardell and Rebecca here in the studio talking about...
Oh, you know what? We're going to talk really fast today because we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about how the heat has affected us, mm-hmm. and that's going to lead us into disease and insects.
But first, what's doing well, Mardell?
Right, before we start whining. what's doing well? I have seen some onions in this valley this year that are way better than I've ever seen onions do before. And they're heat-loving, you know, so they like them.
Absolutely, and I know I just spent the last hour right before coming here picking green beans like there's no tomorrow. My provider beans are insane this
year. So the beans are doing great, although some people are dealing with a few diseases and insects in beans. Right. Beans are pretty vulnerable, but the heat, they love the heat, except you said that you had a little bit of mold in yours already.
Just starting. As temperatures cool off and a little bit
of
moisture yesterday.
Had a little bit
yesterday.
Of rain,
But tomatoes, cucumbers, the winter squash are phenomenal.
I saw a tomato outside of somebody's house that was not protected or anything, just sitting outside at somebody's house, and they had a ripe tomato on it already.
Growing outside.
In July. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's unheard of.
So there's some good things about this heat. But boy, there are some things that it has played havoc with in gardens.
We're seeing different diseases, aren't we?
Way different diseases and a ton more insects. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I thought we would talk about those a little bit. So first, let's talk about you found a disease in your beets.
Yeah, my beets for the second year I've had this. And I looked it up last night on the internet for quite a while, and it is called Cercospora leaf spot. And
Cercospora leaf spot.
Yep, it's a fungus, and it has brown and gray spots. Some of them are reddish, have a red ring around the spot. Some are red spots in general all on the outer leaves, and then the outer leaves turn yellow on you. And so even though healthy green leaves are coming out the middle and beets are forming, I'm still going to get plenty of beets. The greens look unappetizing, and they don't look very healthy.
Because they're yellow on the outside.
The outer leaves are turning yellow and dying, and then you see the spots, the red and gray spots. And so it's definitely a fungus, and the spores are spread by splashing water. So if you're overhead watering, which I was doing because my water tank ran out, I was spreading the disease by overhead watering with my sprayer. And it's brought on by high temps and humidity. So that explains why I had it the last 2 years, and I've never had it before. So we're seeing 2 weeks of 95 degrees and higher.
And that's what promotes so many of this fungal disease. Right. And that's in many, many different crops. That's what's going on. Right. And your point about the overhead watering is, I mean, a lot of people don't have choices, but this is one of the advantages of drip systems in that you're not... Rain is going to do it too. It's going to what it does is it splashes those spores.
Right.
But there's another thing that you should do about that is make sure you get those leaves when you take them off. Mm-hmm. Don't leave them anywhere near your garden because that one disease may not only affect beets, but it may affect another plant.
And it's going to hang out around the edges of your garden and it's going to move around with the splashing water. So that's what I did a lot of last year. I picked off the yellow leaves and then just sort of chucked them aside because I was in a hurry.
That's
right?
why you still
Classic.
Have it in your garden this year.
And probably, and I also planted the beets only one row away from where they were last year.
Where you should have put it on the other side of the garden.
Basically, the fungus just splashed its way across the pathway and got into the neighboring bed. So I could have done better if I had rotated my crops a lot farther away from where, many, many feet away. But if you have a small garden, you might have to just wait like 3 or 4 years before you plant those again because the fungus is going to hang out and wait. So there's another thing you can do too, which is potentially plant more vigorous plants by planting organic seed. We were just talking about the difference between an organic seed and a regular seed. And in general, an organic seed is going to come from a more vigorous plant because they've had to go out and get their own nutrients. and not be spoiled by easy fertilizer. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, in general, a more vigorous plant and be able to survive the things that come along. So in general, organic seed is going to help you with diseases.
Now, it's not going to guarantee that there's not a disease in general, in that. Yeah. And that's what this came about, because mm-hmm. we were talking about how do these diseases get here? And mm-hmm. and they come in all sorts of different ways. And they can mm-hmm. come in a seed. And I do think that that is a good reason to consider organic seeds, because I do. I don't worry about the pesticides that you're going to get in a seed, but mm-hmm. The vigor of a plant is probably a good reason to think about organic
in
if
general,
given a choice.
In general, it's going to handle different conditions mm-hmm. and diseases that come along a little better.
Yeah.
And again, removing plants' leaves that have the disease or the insect on them and burning those or taking them far, far away.
Yeah, I burn them.
And then rotating your crops every year a mm-hmm. substantial distance away from mm-hmm. where they were. That's going to help with all those three things are going to help with any disease or insect that comes along. And those in general are the easiest things we do, because we're not going to be spraying anything on these plants. So that in general is the best thing we could think of.
Yep. Mm. I agree. What to do about insect infestations, that's a harder one.
Right. We talked, too, though, about buying beneficials. You can buy beneficial insects that mm-hmm. prey on things.
So, I mean, a success story is this year my dome. Last year, I had huge problems of whiteflies and aphids and all sorts of insects in my dome last year. Mm-hmm. This year, I was much more proactive. I bought beneficials, and I put them in there from the beginning, and we have no signs of either.
What did you buy?
Well, I did ladybugs, and then I did, I'd have to look up the name of it, for whiteflies, mm-hmm. and then I sprayed some nematodes in as mm-hmm. well. So whatever I did.
How do you spray nematodes? What is that?
You buy nematodes. They come in a sponge, mm-hmm. and you put them in water, and then you just spray them on your soil.
Oh,
and I've done that twice this year. They're also supposed to be good for root maggots.
Uh-huh.
And I know root maggots are a thing that a lot of people are having problems with this year. Mm. Again, I think the heat probably really... any insect, I mean, how insects operate is that it's a thing called degree days. And the mm-hmm. more degrees, the warmer it is, the more insects have more vigor and more chance of reproducing.
Sure.
And because we had those 2 weeks of extreme heat, it just accelerated all of these insects. So we're seeing things that I think have been here for years, but you see a few of them.
Right, the quantities are through the roof.
They've just gone through the roof.
Yeah.
So has anybody seen the cottonwood trees being decimated here in town, or is that the out-the-road phenomena?
I haven't seen that in town, but what it's doing is those moths.
Well, it's a beetle. I have not been able to identify it. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there listening knows what it is, it's a black beetle. Looks about the size of a ladybug, but it's black and kind of goldish on its elytra, on its wings. And it's got a larvae that look like a ladybug larvae. And they, both the adult and the larvae, are just... they're covering the leaves. They're black. The leaves are just black.
Wow. Entire trees are being eaten.
And then some people say that when the leaves are all gone, then they'll go to the bark, which at first I said, I don't think an insect can do that. But what they're doing, as I read, is that they're probably laying their eggs underneath the bark. So they're utilizing the bark as
the tree dies, the larvae benefit from that.
So, and I'm seeing specifically on cottonwood, and a few of them are going to the alders after they feel like they've got a long ways to go to get all of the cottonwoods out there. But it's probably not going to kill these trees, mm-hmm. and it's probably going to be a population explosion of insects. They do the mm-hmm. boom and bust thing. They're going to get really overpopulated, and then they're going to die, we hope. But
maybe they'll freeze.
Maybe they will freeze.
Right, if we get a good winter, that would really help us with all this.
Right.
Another thing that I'm hearing people talk about is two things, leaf miners and caterpillars. And I'll talk about leaf miners first. My research has shown, I always thought that it was one insect that was a leaf miner. Mm-hmm. It's not. A leaf miner can be a fly, it can be a moth, it can be a beetle.
That's interesting.
What leaf miner means is that it's the pattern. It's the style of eating. So they lay their eggs on the plant, and then as soon as the egg hatches out and goes into a larvae stage, they bury underneath the tissue of the leaf, and then they burrow inside. And that's why you see these little paths, and that's a distinguishing thing about a leaf miner.
They look kind of grayish brown on the plant, a little squiggly line.
Yeah. And you can actually identify what the insect is by the pattern of these. Sometimes you get nice, neat little lines. Sometimes you get squiggly. Sometimes they go around the edges. And those are identifying features of what the critter is, if you care. And
again, though, is there anything to do but pull the leaf and burn it?
That's right. Pull the leaf. Get rid of that larvae, because that larvae is going to hatch out.
I read they can have like 7 life cycles in one season.
Yeah. Some of them are really, really fast.
Right. So it's worth it to pull the leaf and remove it.
Get the leaf and burn it. Don't leave it in your garden. Right. Burn it.
Don't compost it. Don't chuck it to the side.
Yeah.
So what has been decimating the blueberry bushes?
What is something new?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Do you know? Is it a beetle or?
I don't know. I just saw posts on the garden.
The garden site
about some of the blueberry bushes just being the leaves are all gone.
Wow, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't been blueberry picking yet. Next week I'm going to go blueberry picking. We'll see what's out there. And so, it's interesting. Caterpillars are also another thing that will. Hearing something that's decimated the leaves, the first thing that comes to mind is caterpillars, because that's what they do. Like cabbage, or I had some charred. Actually, I had a sphinx moth. I'm not really sure that we really have sphinx moth, but they look like sphinx moth. There's those big, huge moths that you see flying around. Yeah. They laid eggs in, we saw this happen 2 or 3 places at our place, and little yellow eggs turned into caterpillars, and they were on my chard, and they really ate it fast.
Yep.
Overnight.
Overnight you come out and your chard's gone.
Yeah. So caterpillars are the ones that are known for doing that.
Right. I do want to mention a success story I had with the robins that came and were taking every single Bing cherry. And were putting me into a fury. I was going out, and there were like 15 robins in my Bing tree. And I was beside myself. And someone told me to get old CDs, old scratch CDs from the recycle center, and hang them in the tree, and it worked like a charm.
There's a reason why I've saved those CDs.
There is a reason, and your friends probably have scratch CDs.
I have some. If you ever need any.
I was going to donate me some more. Once you start looking, they're everywhere. But anyway, I just hung these, and so they dangle from the branches.
And the slightest breeze
will move them.
Wow.
Even just a tiny, tiny little bit of air movement will move them, and they shine and flash like crazy, and the robins don't like it.
And they look so pretty.
They don't look so bad, but
you know, you're not supposed to put those up until the cherries are actually there, because they'll get acclimated to them before, and then they won't be scared when the actual fruit comes about.
So wait till they start turning red.
But if they're eating all your cherries before.
They waited till the fruit turned red, and then they came.
Oh, they do.
Okay, so don't put the CDs out too soon is what you're saying.
Right,
so I have to take my CDs down this fall.
And then put them back up.
Okay, so that's a great tip. I didn't know that.
Let me mention another thing that's happening. Yeah. I know a couple people, and I have it happening hugely, is bees and wasps. I personally think it's a bee. Some people are identifying it as a wasp that is eating strawberries and berries. I'm expecting them to go to my raspberries now that my raspberries are ripe. I don't have one strawberry left. They are eating every single strawberry.
So you would have to hang some kind of bug netting over your strawberries. Is that what you're saying?
Remay. It's got to be more than a bug, because it's got to, you know.
Little tiny.
It's got to be something that insects can go through. Mosquito netting. Yeah. So I am hoping that it's a population explosion of, there's been a lot of bees, wasps, all that kind of stuff.
There's been a lot this year.
Yeah. Right. So I'm hoping that next year there won't be so many, because this is a really hard one to battle against.
Right. Are they pollinating kind of bees?
Well, that's the good thing is that bees, hopefully, it's
a pollinator.
They pollinate, but I don't need pollination anymore. My berries are done. I want the berries. I don't want them pollinated.
The berries,
yeah. So that's been a really nasty one out there. They have just, and it's happened in town too. Mm-hmm. I've had some people talk about it happening. They haven't gone for my raspberries yet, but I fully expect them to, because that's what they do. They like the sweetness of the I'll mention thrips is another thing that I a lot of people have been talking about. They're dahlias, and they say, oh, I've got this insect that I can't see. Thrips are deceiving. They're really hard to see. They're the tiny, tiny little elongated insect, and they eat a lot of things. And you can kind of shake the plant on a white paper, and you'll see that's a good way to find really small insects. Put a white piece of paper underneath it and shake the plant and see what comes out. Mm-hmm. And if you get this really tiny, like a 16th of an inch long, elongated, light insect, it's probably a thrip. And Joni is telling us that we got to stop, but we could talk about insects and diseases.
More and more competitors. All it takes is a few degrees extra warmth, and you will see explosions of new competitors.
We think that we have a hard time gardening in Alaska, mm-hmm. and the truth of the matter is that our temperatures and climate protect us from a lot of this stuff that mm-hmm, we are experiencing now, just because of 2 weeks of heat.
Right.
So, and the good things is the slugs are down.
The slugs are down for now. Yeah. But when the rains start, I think that they're just sitting at the door.
They're
waiting.
They're just
sliming away. Yeah, just <that's> waiting.
So gardening challenges. Yeah. But
all right. Well, thank you so much. And let's not forget the garden tour.
Yes, the garden tour is happening on
Meeting
Sunday.
Meeting at 9?
Is it 9 or 10?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Check the fair schedule.
Yeah, check the fair schedule. Mm-hmm. But
and
it's going to be a
Sunday.
Good one. Yeah,
that's
it's going to be fun to
see Jenny Szymanski. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that.
So, yeah, and you're going to your place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, coming to my place, but I'm going to join the tour and go see Jenny and Sabine. So,
well, happy gardening. Enjoy those cucumbers and tomatoes and all that stuff that we are having in abundance.
Yeah, pickle some green beans for me.
Dilly
beans.
Happy gardening.
Thank you so much, Mardell and Rebecca with the Garden Conversation, heard here every Thursday morning. It's 9 o'clock.